Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at OnPay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, it's important to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we couldn't be sharing these important stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Dr. Tiffany Jameson Rand, or as her patients call her, Dr. Tiff, and she is with the Polish Dental Center. Welcome, Dr. Tiff.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, I'm excited to learn what you're up to. Tell us about Polish Dental Center. How are you serving folks?
Oh, well, so first, thank you for having me. I'm an Atlanta native, so I grew up listening to you. I am the CEO and founder of Polish Dental Centers. We have been serving Atlanta for the last 10 years. We are a fast-growing company of five practices, soon to be 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We just received the award and the Inc. 5000 for one of the fastest growing companies in the United States for 2022.
So when you started Polish Dental Center, did you always view it as a multi-location operation, or was it something that just organically grew over the years?
Well, I think it did organically grow. And as you see, I'm a dentist by trade, no MBA, no nothing. Right. So my message to all dentists out there is that you can do it. You know, if I can do it, you can do it. Nothing special there. Really, really good at dentistry. Love dentistry. It is my passion. But also, the business bug bit me because I grew up, my dad owned multiple sites, technology firms. And so after a while, I started to, as being an operator in dentistry, I was like, well, you know, what's my contingency plan? What is my retirement plan? I used to see so many dentists as they age and get older, they had carpal tunnel. And my mentor, you know, talks about her body and how it broke down. So quickly, I started to think about my future, and scaling a business was the only way, because I feel like dentistry combines that entrepreneurship spirit and healthcare, and it just was a fit for me.
Now, when you're thinking about scaling, historically, dental offices tend to be kind of dentist driven. So the person has a relationship with that given dentist. It's not thought of like, oh, I'll just pop into this other dental office that has the same name, like you would, you know, like a restaurant or, you know, a hamburger chain. How do you kind of get over that to create a brand, but also create those relationships?
Oh, excellent question. So I always tell everyone, dentistry has gone very corporate, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. It's gone very corporate. I mean, there are people that know nothing about dentistry that buy 100, 200, 400 dental practices. And, you know, that's one model. But my model is no investors, no private equity money taken on my part. It is just me. And as a dentist, which is, you know, dentist-owned, dentist-led, we have the resources of a DSO, a dental service organization, which is what those larger ones are that some people do pop in and out of, and have the private practice feel that we give our patients. So we are that hybrid. You know, we're not that that one-off dentist where, you know, sometimes there's you know, the service and the technology might not be there to service the patient, but we are a group and we hire dentists that believe the same thing that we do, right? We want to give our patients a quality experience with the latest technology and, you know, the lowest amount of like fuss and have the, convenience of like something that has like a major run DSO, kind of like Chick-fil-A model, but still has a relationship with their dentist. And so like that's our sweet spot, and that's why we've been successful.
So how are you kind of leveraging technology and kind of this service first mentality in an experience with a patient? Can you share how that would be different for a patient as opposed to kind of maybe the old school way of what they're used to dealing with?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Very simple question. Number one, you can access our schedule online 24 hours a day. So we use technology so that you can actually, you don't even need to call us. You can go online right now, see an appointment for whatever service you need, book that appointment, you get a confirmation back, and we are mostly techs, and we have a system where, you know, we know a lot of people don't answer their phone anymore, right? Like, I mean, I don't know about you, but I have a whole bunch, I don't know what's going on, but I just have a whole bunch of random people calling my phone. And with us, you know, we text you back, we talk to you back. We also have a 24-hour call center that fields all of our calls. So you can call us at 3 o'clock in the morning and someone will answer the phone and they will, you can put you right on, they'll read our schedule and put you right there on our schedule. No questions asked. So that's something different is access to us at all times, access to the dentist, right? Cause your emergency doesn't just happen between the hours of 9 to 5. And we realize that. Another thing that, we outsource is our insurance billing. There's a lot of times people miss, in dentistry, human error is really high with insurance. So, you know, we have a dedicated team that verifies all our patients' insurance to make sure that we don't miss anything. So you don't have any unexpected oops bills coming to you. So those are just a few things that we do.
Now, in your journey, as opposed to kind of growing an individual dental practice, you've decided to kind of build this dental empire here in Atlanta. Is this something, you mentioned opening more and more sites around town. Is this something that's going to go beyond Atlanta? Is that your vision that this will be a national chain?
So, of course, you know, never my vision, it's God's vision. But for me right now, you know, as a wife and mother of twins, you know, it is very manageable for me to keep it in Georgia. You know, I'm from Georgia. I'm raised in Atlanta, born and raised in Atlanta. And, you know, this city and this community is something that I'm passionate about. And so, you know, everyone has teeth. Everyone's a customer. Or if they don't have teeth, they're still a customer. So, you know, there are plenty of mouths to service in and around the Atlanta metropolitan area. And right now, you know, we are, you know, no more than 20 miles outside of the city. And there's plenty of people to service. So right now we're very, very much concentrating on this city, and then we'll see where it takes us.
Now, in your experience, I'm kind of fascinated by this, going through, like, initially dentistry, that was the goal, right? Like, I'm going to be a dentist, I'm going to have my own practice. That was kind of what you were aiming at. And then somewhere it kind of got modified to say, okay, why, if I can do this in one place, why can't I do it in 5 places? So that's kind of a mental mindset shift. When you made that shift, is the dental community, your ecosystem around you of mentors and supporters, is that something that people in the dental world say, yeah, that makes perfect sense, go for it? Or are they encouraging? Or is that something that's like, are you sure you want to do that? Like, that's a lot of risk, that's different. You know, like, what does that ecosystem feel about somebody that's like you, an empire builder?
Wow. So, it is very polarizing. I mean, you are absolutely right. You know, people that have you in their mind is one thing, right? It's hard to change their mind to another thing. It's more about finding other people that are doing this. So we have I'm part of an organization called Dental Entrepreneurs Organization, which has been a organization that has connected me with other just regular dentists who want to scale their dental practice, who have these ideas. They're just like, hey, you know, I want to be able to pass on my quality of care, and I don't want to be run by a corporate driven machine that is going to treat my patients like a number. So, you know, there are people in our ecosystem that feel like they, but they're very few and small in between. It's a niche kind of thing. But no, you're absolutely right. We do have some dentists that are like, wow, how do you do that? I'm like, yeah, you can do this yourself. You can do this with systems and implementation. And if you, you know, kind of remove yourself from chairside and really start thinking and researching, I mean, shoot, YouTube and Google, it has it all there. So it's nothing, it is a niche, and not everyone wants you to do that, but they also support you. Like once you get big enough and you show that you can, that it is something sustainable, people usually just get on board and want to work with you or for you. And so it's been pretty good. It's been pretty supportive for me, at least.
Now, recently I was asked to talk about the Atlanta entrepreneur community and the ecosystem here. And I'm a big fan of it. I think that we do a great job as a community supporting small to mid-sized businesses in a lot of places. There's a lot of resources for an entrepreneur, maybe more so in the tech community than in other industries, but definitely in the tech community, there's a lot of resources. Have you found that to be the case as you've been trying to scale? Being a Black female entrepreneur, are you finding that this is an ecosystem that is supportive and that is trying to help, or do you find it, you know, cumbersome and getting in your way?
Well, it is very tough. I would say that the biggest barrier is to be, you know, there's a lot of women. I forget what the statistics are. There's like a very small percent of women entrepreneurs, and there's even smaller percentage of women entrepreneurs that have employees. And so, you know, it is very tough. It is very hard, but you know, if you put it out there, if you're doing well, mentorship just kind of comes to you, right? People gravitate towards the light. And so whether it's male or female entrepreneurs, you know, I would say that I'm positioning myself more as a businesswoman more than a dentist. So that opens up my ability to attract mentors that can help me, because at this point I'm running a business, not necessarily dental practices, that we happen to sell dentistry. We are a business that happens to sell dentistry. So there are mentorships out there, but yeah, it is tough because mentors really, they people mentor people that they can see themselves in. And as a Black female, there isn't a lot of trailblazers, I will say, that's doing what I'm doing. But you know, I find myself more mentoring others to be like me, because I do feel like there is the missing space as a Black female in this ecosystem, this middle ground.
In the dentistry ecosystem or the female entrepreneur ecosystem?
Oh, no, in the dentistry niche, not female entrepreneurs. It opens up when you're just looked at as a business. But in dentistry, there's not a lot of female dentists that are scaling.
Is there a lot of female dentists?
Oh no, we have more, but it's a male dominated career, and especially males that stay, I'm sorry, male dominated as you get older in dentistry, right? As your tenure gets longer, because, you know, women, you know, we decide on other paths because of family obligation and children and pressure to be a wife and a mother. So, you know, our career sometimes proved to be shorter in the field of dentistry. So, you know, like that also makes it more male dominated.
Now, you mentioned that mentorship is important to you. How about some advice for other, you know, entrepreneurs out there that are looking to scale their business and dream bigger and aim higher? Is there any advice you can give an entrepreneur out there to kind of maybe get out of their comfort zone and just, you know?
So my husband makes fun of me. He says, instead of ready, aim, fire, I'm ready, fire, aim. And he's like, you just do it. He's like, the moment someone gives you an idea, you just do it. And so it's a cliche, but just do it. Google, YouTube it. It's going to be on there. Figure it out and just execute, 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 execute. I have found that I've been able to execute my way out of every problem. It's all about consistency. Just keep it up. And if you run into an obstacle, just continue to execute. It is there. You can do it. There are resources out there, even if they're not people, right? Like, a lot of people spend a lot of time on, oh, I need to have a business plan. I need to do this. I don't have a business plan. I never had a business plan. I had a vision board. Like, that's, I do a vision board every year, right? Like, what else do I want? And I just hit what's on my vision board. And like, but that's my style. And that's what has worked for me. I know it works, you know, for other people a different way. But for me, it has been all execution and just putting the pieces together with just resources from the internet, essentially.
But at the bottom line of this is taking action, like get it out of your head and get into real world information rather than just having all these ideas that you're going to do one day. It's better to just do something today than kind of dream of something tomorrow.
Yeah. And you will get comfortable with it. Like, eventually, it's called, I would say, I feel like it is controlled paranoia. Because once you stop getting that W-2 check, like every 2 weeks, right? People are used to getting that W-2 every 2 weeks, right? And one thing that you have to get used to as an entrepreneur is that, okay, you have to realize, hey, I am enough. I don't need this W-2 check. I can live. I will live. I will make it. And when you put enough pressure there to live and sustain your lifestyle, oh, you're gonna fly. You know, like it's going to happen for you. But a lot of time, that comfort zone, that safety net needs to be removed in order for you to really take a bet on yourself and take a chance on yourself.
Right, because ironically, that's an illusion, the safety net, because now you're dependent on other people. Now, when it's your own business, you're relying on you, and who do you trust more than you? You know, some stranger who treats you like a line on the spreadsheet, or yourself?
Exactly. You are the only, you are enough, and that's what I would say to anyone. You are enough. You're right. That W-2, they can take it from you tomorrow, right? And you're like, oh, okay. You know, and so, you know, you are going to survive. You'll live.
Now for you, what do you need more of? How could we help? Do you just need more patients coming into the clinics? You need more dentists to partner with that kind of believe in what you believe in and want to kind of take their business to new levels? How can we help you?
Well, how can you help me? So the, how do you say this? The driving force of my business are good qualified providers. I can always find a dental practice to put them in. I have a machine, you know, bragging on myself. I have a machine that generates patients, right? Like, we have the model down. We can print dental practices. Having a good qualified dentist that believe in the perfect patient experience, that believe in same day start, don't waste our patient, you know, wasting our patient's time. Like, they're driving back. Have you been to the dentist like for one tooth, like five times? It's like, you know, like that doesn't need to happen. Right. And so like having good qualified providers, if I had a provider come to me today, I was like, give me 3 months and I'll build a practice around you. Like, that's how confident I am about our model and, you know, our service model.
Now, are these providers, are they right out of college? Do they have their own practice? Maybe they're frustrated. They're working with another firm and they're frustrated. What is that kind of makeup of that ideal provider?
Okay. So we have all, so the reason, the way I've been able to scale is I have distressed practices. I bought distressed practices. That means someone's getting ready to retire. Someone's died. Someone's divorced. You know, somebody is, you know, so that's how I've acquired them. Right. And I judge them up and input our systems, and then they become this nice place that delivers the perfect patient experience, right? And so those are ideal, right? Those people are ideal. Like, if you're tired and you just want someone to take your practice over, that's us. Now, what we do is we put in people that have residencies, at least a residency. We don't take fresh doctors out of school. They have at least had a residency. and or 3 to 5 years of schooling already. They've already kind of been in there, been in the game for a little while. But mostly we believe in doctors that they have to have a residency, some kind of residency, some kind of naval training, military training, that those are kind of residency programs. And we put them in there, and then we kind of, we teach them our thought process, the way we think about patient service, because we already know you have the tactile skills. We're talking about a service and how you deliver service and how you think about delivering service to people. Because it's all about people, and that's how we have people that want to come back and repeat customers, just like anything else. I think I answered the question. Oh, yeah, you were saying those are the doctors, but those are the kind of doctors we want.
So you want them that you can kind of train them in your way before they got too many bad habits.
Yes, and by the way, we even now we're at the precipice where we need doctors who are mentors with inside the company, because we have so many, you know, we have so many younger doctors. We do need doctors who are just like, hey, I'm a good doc. I just don't want to run a company, or don't want to run a dental practice anymore, because there's like 100 bills associated with it, and I really just want to focus on quality of care. We'll take that too. And so we're at the point where, you know, we need a clinical director besides just me, right? Because I wear a number of hats as a CEO. I wear too many hats probably, but yeah, we definitely are expanding, and we'll need more seasoned doctors who just want to practice, and we welcome them with open arms. So all of the above, great. You know, specialists, oral surgeons, endodontists, you know, we need those.
Well, Dr. Tiff, congratulations on all the success and the momentum. If somebody wants to learn more about the practice, or you, or their dentist that wants to learn more, is there a website that they can go to?
Yes, they can go to smilepolish.com, like nail polish, smilepolish.com, or visit us on Instagram. You can message us on Instagram, a social media person will get to you. Polish Dental Centers, plural, on our Instagram page.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today. You're doing important work, and we appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Thanks for inviting me.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We'll see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.